Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
I just learned that the NRA actually stands for not really, actually.
Oh.
Okay.
Is that our first, fact right off the bat, huh?
Yeah.
And this is Stranger Still.
Welcome to Stranger Still, the podcast where we do stuff. I'm Nick Wood.
I'm Jonathan Philip Egan.
Oh, Philip.
Mm-hmm. Did you never know that?
No, I knew that. I just forgot it.
Well, now you know, and it's permanent.
I knew it was P, and I thought it was Patrick, but I think I'm confusing you with one of my other friends.
You think I'm some Irish?
Maybe.
A little.
You're just a cesspool of genetics.
That's what everyone wants to hear. Yep.
That's how I sweet talk my wife. You're a cesspool of genetics. John, what are we talking about this week?
We're going to talk about the NRA.
The National Rifle Association.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to dive right in because I have a lot to get to, but it sounded like you wanted to say something.
And other guns. I think that's in parentheses. Not just rifles.
And not just rifles. I want to get our political biases out of the way.
Okay.
Because we don't talk about politics a lot. We talked about it with DAPL and trans issues and a couple other smatterings here.
Climate changes stuff.
Right. But this is like very polarizing, I guess.
Nah.
It is.
Okay.
And we're both progressives. I imagine a bunch of our listeners are somewhere within that spectrum just based on some of the other topics we've done. But if you disagree with our points of view, just give us 30 minutes to talk about the NRA.
Yep.
Hear us out. I'm sure that our opinions will make its way into the first part of this episode, but the first part of this episode isn't about that. It's about the history of the NRA, what the NRA actually does, and why there's such a big, powerful political force in today's world. And then we'll get into the opinion stuff, and maybe you can tune out then. But just give us 30 minutes. That's all I ask of you. And if you do, you'll get a certified pat on the back in the mail from yours truly.
Wow.
Just rate us 5 stars on iTunes and let us know. That's how you get the... And then support us on Patreon.
Right. Yeah. StrangeSocialShow.com/shop.
Or Patreon.com/flyingmachine.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you package those?
With my hand.
Okay.
You pat the envelope on the back, and when they open it, they feel it.
Okay. You ever like get super embarrassed because you pat the front of the envelope?
I have to throw those ones away. I put those in the shredder. Right. And the shredder's like, oh, thanks. That is my naughty bits.
Gross.
Why is that gross? My shredder's into it. It's consensual.
Okay. What's our first lesson?
Before we dive in, I just want to say, I just went through that whole spiel, but then I'm going to say, the NRA would look at this episode and say, now is not the time to talk about gun control.
No.
And I say, there's no time like the present, so suck it, NRA.
Look at that.
John, do you know what the NRA stands for?
No, I have no idea.
Stands for the National Rifle Association.
The Knives and Rifles?
The Knives and Rifles. That's where the phrase, don't bring a knife to a gunfight, comes from. It's from the NRA. They invented that.
Wow.
It's all propaganda. These days, do you want to take a guess as to how many members the NRA has across the United States?
I don't know if it's in decline or in a raise.
I think it's just steady.
Steady. Going steady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many members do you think?
I'm going to say...
it's in the millions.
Okay. I'm going to say 5 million people.
What were you going to say before that?
300,000 people.
Really?
I'm getting confident in...
What number did you say?
5 million.
It's 5 million.
Okay.
You hit it on the head after a little bit
bullseye.
Of pushing.
Bullseye. Get it?
I do. Hey, that was a good one. So one thing that I thought was really funny is that the
Pew Review?
No.
Is that like when you go to churches and you're like, oh, this is solid oak. This is nice.
I got Peer Review and Pew Research Center confused.
Okay.
So the Pew Research Center did a poll on Americans, and they found that 14 million people in America think that they're members of the NRA because the NRA will just go around telling people that they are members of the NRA. But to be a member of the NRA, you have to pay like dues and all kinds of membership fees and stuff.
Yeah.
And 9 million people out there aren't paying those and think that they're members of the NRA.
That's wonderful.
So just wanted to throw that out there. And if you're like me, you might wonder, what the heck does the NRA even do? I know that they're a powerful political force, but I know that they aren't meant to do that. That's not why they're here. They were invented for another reason. And according to the NRA's website, this is a direct quote from them, they said that they are widely recognized today as a major political force and as America's foremost defender of Second Amendment rights, the NRA has, since its inception, been the premier firearms education organization in the world. So according to them, their primary objective
was to teach Boy Scouts how to shoot.
Is to teach people how to shoot and gun safety.
Okay.
So they do this by funding like shooting ranges. They go to the Boy
Scouts.
They have training classes. They do all these things as their primary goal to ensure that people are using firearms safely. And I want to make it very clear that in their own words, this is their primary objective.
Okay. Say it one more time.
The NRA's primary objective is to educate people on how to use guns and gun safety.
So safety, as a word, is to prevent injury or death, right?
Yes.
Prevent, right?
As their primary goal, John.
Which is what?
Have you said it enough?
Okay. I'm ready.
I got a lot of great info on this from NPR, which some people out there might say is a biased source, which maybe, I don't know. But I got a lot of info from the BBC as well, which isn't in America, so they don't care. They're just reporting the facts as far as I see them. But I also got a lot of good info from the NRA themselves and ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, their website.
Okay.
So, John, would it surprise you if I told you the NRA actually did start out as an organization for gun safety and education?
I'll tell you what, a fella.
Yeah.
I did know that.
Oh, good.
But it's because I like to stay informed on this stuff.
Well, it shouldn't surprise anyone, yes. Like, when you say that that's their primary objective.
So our usual shtick is I come and I learn with you guys listening.
Yeah.
But on certain important issues, I like to know a little bit more.
Yeah.
So that I can help and assist.
Well, I got a little bit of history. Do you know the history of the NRA?
All I know is it did have something to do with Boy Scouts at some point.
It did. Well, not immediately. So they formed in 1871 by Union soldiers 6 years after the Civil War happened because they were appalled by the horrible accuracy that the Union soldiers had. And at the time, there was this official study done that showed for every 1,000 shots a Union soldier shot, one of those hit a Confederate soldier.
Wow.
Which I don't know if you can, like, if you can do the math really fast, but it's not good. That's not a good percent.
Yeah.
So they...
You'd be better off with a slingshot.
Exactly. Or like one of those, you just put a rubber band on the end of your finger and flick it at someone.
Yeah.
So from 1871 to 1934, that's what they did. They went around teaching people how to use guns and promoted gun safety. They educated people, and that's what they did for almost 60 years. But John, would it surprise you if I told you the NRA's first foray into politics was to limit gun sales?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would. Because... If you stay current in the world today, the reason that the NRA stays in politics is because they're in the pocket of gun manufacturers.
Right.
And they don't want people not buying guns because then the people that are giving the NRA money stop giving them money. It's as simple as that. But in 1934, there was this bill floating around.
In space. On Earth.
On Earth.
Which is floating in space.
It is. But it was going around the government. It was called the National Firearms Act of 1934. This act was meant to limit the sales of guns to certain people. Shocking, I know. It would also make it so that if you bought a gun, you'd have to register with the government. And it put a huge tax on buying certain types of guns. Like, it was $200 extra in 1934 money on certain rifles and shotgun sales.
Mm-hmm.
And that $200, did I say it's $2,000? It's $200 extra. In today's money, it equals about $3,700.
Okay.
However, since they put the law into effect in 1934, they've never updated the extra $200. So what used to be almost $4,000 extra to buy a gun is still just $200 today.
Wow. Okay. No,
yay, inflation.
Huh? Yeah.
The NRA at the time didn't have any lobbying group like they do today, but what they did was they sent out flyers saying, hey, support the National Firearms Act. Get it passed. The express purpose of this bill was to limit gun sales, and some people will look at the $200 and say, well, what if that was just to bring in money for the government? And yes, it brought in money for the government, but they literally said, no, this is to prevent people from buying guns. that's why we're putting this extra tax on there. The NRA didn't have much involvement after that. Like, they, in 1963, after JFK was killed, they did support tightening gun laws a little bit, and they were at the time. Then in 1968, Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr. were murdered.
Yeah.
And they sought to tighten gun laws even further at that time, and they did. And then there was an amendment in the same year, 1968, called the Gun Control Act, and it was meant to tighten up some of the loopholes people found in the NFA, the National Firearms Act.
Yeah.
And the NRA stood behind that as well.
Now, as shocking as this is, I think one of my biggest eye-openers into something mm-hmm. like this, when you think of people that are in control, when we think of, okay, we got two political parties,
yeah.
and it seems that one is gung-ho about the NRA and the other is against it, right? If you put it into the simplest possible terms.
Yes.
And one of the leaders of the Republican Party mm-hmm. is Mitch McConnell, right?
Yeah.
So I was watching a video that went into why Mitch McConnell should have a bad birthday.
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to talk ill of someone when they're dead after yeah. they pass away. So instead, this it was a TYT, like a after the show type thing on a yeah. Friday. They ask people to have a bad birthday instead so they don't like talk ill of the dead.
Yeah.
But one of the things that they talked about with him was that he actually was for gun regulation and wow. common sense gun control laws and all of that.
Yeah.
So it might have been around this time when he was only 170. But really, it's just like it shows you how much it influences. And I'm sure we're going to get to now how that shift's changed.
It was so the history of
but
the,
to put a face on that,
crazy.
You could go straight to an actual human being. Mitch McConnell did this. Yeah.
Yeah. So you might be wondering what the hell happened. They were standing behind limiting gun sales and dangerous gun just being out there in the middle of the city. So a couple things happened. Crime rates started to rise, and so were gun sales. People were understandably getting worried, and then you see major figures like JFK, MLK get gunned down. Tensions start to rise regarding guns, and in 1971, the ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, found a member of the NRA...
Are they an association? What's their title?
They're a branch of government, I believe. NRA is not. They're just a nonprofit.
So it's the ATF branch?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they're federal. Sorry, I was unsure about that before, but they are federal. So they found a card-carrying member of the NRA hiding a bunch of illegal guns. They went to his house, and they shot and killed him. And that increased tensions even further. The NRA reacted by officially opening a lobbying arm to like kind of save their relationship with the government in 1975. It was called the Institute for Legislative Action, and it was headed up by this guy named Harlan Carter, and he ruled over it with the idea that, quote, "You don't stop crime by attacking guns, you stop crime by stopping criminals." Does that sound familiar, John?
It sounds like an early adaptation.
Does that sound like the same rhetoric we hear today? Does to me.
Yeah.
So the NRA didn't like that. They didn't like the way he was running things. So they basically drained him of all of his funding of the Institute of Legislative Action. And that pissed him off, understandably. So in 1977, there was an NRA convention and he staged an
uprising.
Is
that the board that voted him out or something like that?
No, well, they didn't vote him out. They just drained him of any funding so he couldn't
do
anything.
But who made that decision?
The NRA, like the board, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So he was pissed off. At the 1977 NRA convention, he staged an uprising, so he got a bunch of people just to cause chaos, and that created a power struggle that basically collapsed the leadership of the NRA, and then Harlan became the leader of the NRA.
Wow.
So he upset the leadership and then just stepped in and was like, I'm running this joint
now. He like ran a coup.
Yeah, exactly. He like held his suspenders. He's like, I'm doing a coup today.
And I look cute.
I look cute. So that's when things changed.
Suspenders are always cute.
Yes. Anyway, it's basically never been the same since then. And as NPR put it, the new marching orders, this is a direct quote from them, the new marching orders were to oppose all forms of gun control across the board and lobby aggressively for gun owners' rights in Congress and the legislatures.
Wow, so this is one guy.
One guy did this.
Yeah.
Harlan Carter. I almost swore because I'm not happy about him. So if you...
Now, was this guy just like, that was his personal opinion, or was he being paid by gun manufacturers at this point?
I don't know if he was being paid by gun manufacturers, but his career started out, he was like a border patrol agent.
Okay.
So he was very pro-guns, and when people started attacking the guns, he got pissed off, and that became his rule of law. And I think it's kind of like This is going to sound like a weird comparison, but I'll bring it all together. So some people think that fashion designers make women's jean pockets incredibly small, so they have to go out and buy a purse.
Yeah.
Like, that's a conspiracy theory that's out there. To me, it sounds like people were using purses, so they weren't using their pockets as much. So the fashion designers, as a result, save money by making the pockets smaller because they weren't being used anyway.
It's like a gray area of chicken or the egg came first.
Exactly.
And also, like, supply and demand rules. Yeah.
So at this point, they had an official lobbying arm of the NRA as of 1974. And ever since then, they've been a political powerhouse. They spend millions of dollars during election years to make sure the right people get elected. One thing that they do, and I think too much credit is given to this, they have a grading system that they give to every single politician on how they score on gun rights. So it's from A+ all the way down to F. And people have blamed losing the election on the score that the NRA gave them. And it could be the difference between an A+ and an A. They've said that has swung the election. I think they're giving that too much credit. And I even just saying that sounds like you're validating the process too much. Because I didn't know this existed until I started doing research for this show.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't have had any influence on me. Wouldn't have any influence on the common person.
It does on me. Because I like to hear a bad rating from my politicians. Yeah. Like Bernie has a D rating.
Yeah.
If he had an A+, I'd be like,
Maybe not that guy.
Maybe I disagree.
Maybe I don't feel the burn anymore.
Yeah.
So what I did was I wanted to figure out what their spending was, because we know they're a large political powerhouse and it's not all the grading. What it is the amount of money that they spend on politics. You don't have to be a rocket surgerist to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the spending. I looked into their tax filings for 2016, and only about 16% of what they make in the year goes toward politicians during election years, and then in non-election years it's about 1% of their spending goes to lobbying.
That's very low.
Sounds low, but we'll get
there. 5 million members.
Yeah. So this includes local election years. So every other year, they're spending 16-ish% of their expenditures on legislative things. So one article from the Washington Post claimed that the amount of money that people claim the NRA spends on the government or politics is blown way out of proportion. So what he said was that between the years of 1998 and 2016, the NRA only spent $3.3 million on politics. Which is sort of true if you only look at the NRA and direct contributions. So the NRA, I forgot to say this, the NRA set up a PAC, which we all love, to give money to political figures that they like. So that's not included in here. And this is only like, hey, I like you, here's some money. That's all that this is. There's a lot of other things, a lot of other ways that you can spend money on politics, like independent expenditures. Do you know what that is? Because I had to look up a definition. I had heard it a lot, and I had no idea.
I'm not
going
to be able to define as well as you can.
Yeah, so it's let me get to the definition as defined by the government. The independent expenditures is money being spent that expressly advocates the election or defeat of a clearly identified federal candidate and is not coordinated with a candidate's committee, party committee, or their agents. So, like, you look at the things going on with Trump and Stormy Daniels. That's not independent expenditure if his lawyer paid Stormy because Trump was in on it.
Okay.
However, if Trump wasn't in on it, it would be an independent expenditure, but it's not. That's a different conversation. But that's what an independent expenditure is, and this guy for the Washington Post didn't look at that at all, because that's a crap load of money.
Yeah.
So I want to hold on to that, because I got some other fun information. I said on another episode that I love looking into tax filings, because I did it for PETA. That's the episode I talked about it on. So that's what I did. Because I found an article that had a bunch of this stuff laid out, but I want to see if I could figure it out for myself, do some super sleuthing.
Yeah.
So I looked at their, like I said, their 2016 tax filings. In 2016, they made $367 million. They got $124 million from contributions or donations. They got $181 million from programs that they run, like education programs. And then the rest came from quote-unquote other, which $16 million of that was royalties. So I guess to like use the NRA, they have to pay them royalties. $14 million was for product sales, like t-shirts and crap. $26 million was for advertising. So I guess they did advertising for other people. I don't really understand that one, but it's listed as advertising, and they got $26 million for it. They spent $85,500 on grant programs. They spent $68 million on employee paychecks and benefits. What I thought was interesting was about 10% of that, $6.5 million, went toward just legal fees.
Wow. Okay.
Just let that sink in. And a measly $1.2 million went towards lobbying.
Oh.
So that's not.
So yeah, it's not that bad.
That's not that bad. I think that's what the Washington Post guy was looking at.
And they just happened to leave out the other, like.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, yeah.
So they spent $8 million on fundraising, and then $336 million went to, quote-unquote, other expenses.
Oh.
This is where we get into the fun stuff. Some of it was boring.
A little misc.
Yeah. Some of it they spent on, like, IT, office supplies, travel, paying for their
bump
buildings.
Bump stocks for their staplers.
Yeah. You got to get those extra staples in there. What if you run out?
Right.
How are you going to staple a bunch of papers
in one? Second Amendment right.
So they spent $65 million on advertising, just advertising, which I think is interesting. Doesn't specify what kind of advertising, maybe themselves,
maybe YouTubers?
Political YouTubers, maybe political candidates or against political candidates. Just keep that. I mean, let that sink in, too. They spent almost as much on advertising as they did on employees.
Don't they have their own like entertainment channel now?
Yeah, they do.
Isn't there NRA TV?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, so I wonder if that budget goes to that a little.
I don't think so.
All right.
But who knows? $26 million was spent on just printing stuff, like pamphlets. They love their pamphlets. And then they spent $81 million on, quote, member communications. Emails are free. So I guess they're probably sending out real mail.
Come on, let's be real. They're using AOL.
Yeah.
They're still paying that member fee.
No, they got like infinite disks of free minutes.
Oh.
But John, they say they're in the business of education.
And what was that? The S word? Gun safety?
Gun safety.
Okay.
How much of their $367 million in 2016 do you think they spent on education and community service?
Well, it's got to be more than lobbying, right?
Yeah. Lobbying was, what, 1.2?
Yeah.
1.3? No, 1.2. How much do you think they spent on education?
I got no guess, Nicholas.
$39 million. That's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
I didn't see anything on there about politics other than lobbying, so maybe they don't spend that much on... Oh, wait, what's this on the tax form? Additional legislative program expenses? That sounds political to me. John, how much do you think they spent on that?
I don't know. Just tell me.
Just guess.
I'm going to say, like, $3
million? $52
million. Oh, God.
John, they spent...
That sounds like more than 1.2%, Nicholas.
They spend $52 million on additional legislative program expenses. Gee, I wonder if that's going to politicians. So the crazy thing is, that doesn't even cover the pack that the NRA sent up. So that's where the article I talked about before comes in. I got this from PolitiFact.com. They tallied up all of the expenses from the NRA and its affiliates. And in 2016, they spent a total of $3.2 million on lobbying. So I guess $2 million came from the PAC or affiliates. $815,000 was spent on direct candidate contributions. And then $54.4 million was spent on independent expenditures. You missed a few dollars, Washington Post. So I'll let our audience and you decide. Does their mission statement sound truthful to you?
So, okay.
Should I read this again?
Okay, yeah.
You want me to read this
again? What was the mission statement? I forgot it.
It's not their mission statement, but this is... While widely recognized today as a major political force and as America's foremost defender of the Second Amendment rights, the NRA has, since inception, been the premier firearms education organization in the world.
Okay.
Does it sound like the majority of their money is being spent on education?
Sounds like they need someone to handle their finances for them.
Sounds like they're not looking at their receipts.
Yeah.
I got some gun stats for you, John.
Okay.
And I will say that the only reason that I bring these up is because there's been a lot of shootings the last however many years.
Can I tell you something was uniquely American?
Yeah.
I had a nightmare about a shooting last night.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I had a dream that I was hanging out with someone, and we went to this, like, big, cool mansion.
Yeah.
And that person went into another room. I don't remember who it was. There's some like girl went to a room and they had to lock the doors because there was someone in there shooting and they didn't want them to come out and get everyone else. Good. And then I had to leave and then people came in with masks with like automatic rifles and I ran away.
Welcome to America.
It was just...
I think that, again, to bring up the Young Turks, friends of the show, technically.
The directors.
Yeah.
And the editors.
Anna Kasparian on there said after one of the shootings, like she went to a political event and it was after a shooting and she was very worried for her own safety because it would be incredibly easy to bring in guns and gun people down, especially at a political event where you don't agree with half of the people. And that's what terrorism is.
Yeah.
When you are so scared that you have to think about changing your lifestyle so that you don't die, that's terrorism. So that's why I bring this up. Because whenever something like this happens, the NRA says this isn't the time to talk about it. It's always the time to talk about it. Because if one person dies because you want to make $300 extra dollars on a handgun, that's too many people that have died.
Yeah. So they have, I mean, there's a lot of money at stake here, right? And there's no way that you're going to stop something if there's money flowing into it. It's the same thing with war.
And, unless you get money out of politics.
Unless you get money out of politics. But I think that, like, what makes this tougher is you have people that you pay to be publicists and come up with, like, catchy one-liners.
Yeah.
And one of those one-liners is, now's not the time to talk about it. Let the families grieve. And the families are wanting to talk about
it. Yeah. Look at all the kids during the Orlando shooting that just happened.
Right.
They wanted to talk about it. Let them talk. So I got some stats. I will just run through these. And I will say stats, I know how stats work. You can find a stat to prove any point you want. Mm-hmm. And for every stat that I bring up here, I'm sure there's a counter argument from the other side, but there's some simple math for you here. What I compiled were the ones I found the most convincing. So there's a few sources in here. They'll be on the show notes, but in the United States, what percentage of people do you think carry guns? In 2007, I should say. This is a stat from 2007.
Oh, man, that's tough. I don't know. I was graduating high school.
It's close to where it is today.
60%?
88.8. I believe today it's around 90% of people carry guns or have guns. Well, sorry, that's not carrying guns. That's firearms per 100 people. So people have multiple guns. Not everyone's going to have a gun.
All right.
What about in some other countries like Norway? What do you think? How many guns do you think they have per 100 people?
Two.
This is the next highest country, I believe.
Oh, wow. Okay. So 60. I'll go back with the same.
31.3.
Wow.
Less than half. What about Canada? They're close to us. This is number three on the list.
Number three? Well, that's got to be lower than 30. Let's say 25.
30.8.
Okay.
Australia is 15. Israel is 7.3. UK is 6.2. Japan is 0.6.
Yeah.
Less than one.
Don't they have like three gun deaths a year?
Well, let's get there. How many homicides per 100,000 people do you think took place in 2013 in the United States?
I don't know. This is like the worst game.
Well, it's hard to guess this because that's like a really abstract way of looking at things.
Yeah.
But for every 100,000 people, 3.54 people died because of firearm homicides. So not accidental, homicides.
Wow. Okay.
The next closest country was Israel. At 1.04.
Wow.
Again, less than half. Below that was Canada, number three. Japan, 0.0. It's so minuscule, it doesn't register on this chart.
Yeah.
I bring up this year specifically because this is when the NRA switched. So between 1977, when that uprising at the NRA happened, and this year, there have been 144 mass shootings where more than four people died. There's mass shootings every day, but those are like two or more people. That's too many. That's like 10 a year, something like that.
Yeah.
Or maybe five a year. A lot. That's a lot.
Yeah.
In 2016, there were 35,000 gun deaths. I'm just rounding it. 61% of those were gun-related deaths by suicide. So a majority of them are taken up by suicides. They're not homicides, but 35% of them is still suicide or still homicides, and the rest were accidental deaths. And then there were in that same year about 90,000 related gun-related injuries. 74% of those were assault. People trying to hurt other people with guns, 74%. 20% was unintentional, which is way too high. And 4% was self-harm. The rest was shots fired by law enforcement.
Doesn't sound like safety.
doesn't sound like safety. And the other thing too, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but one article pointed out like, well, mass shoot, there's only been seven, this was before this year, there's only been 17 mass shooting deaths in the last whatever years. That's not a percentage of the gun related deaths. So I'm like, it doesn't matter. 35% of the people died from homicides.
So okay, let's go back to this group has a lot of money coming in, they gotta protect it, so they hire a publicist.
So is the $60 million they're spending a year worth the what, $15,000 or 15,000 people that die each year?
Well, no, what I'm trying to point out is one of their other talking points that they have crafted is that we have to make gun safety and mental health mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
And why can't we do both?
Yeah, why don't we need to sell people assault rifles? There's another stat that like assault rifles and shotguns and all those are a very small percentage of the guns sold.
Yeah,
but still, why sell them? No one needs an assault rifle. That's designed to kill people.
Have you ever shot a gun?
No,
I have. It's fun.
Yeah,
I enjoyed myself.
It's probably a handgun, right?
I shot a handgun and I shot a shotgun.
Yeah,
big shotgun, double barrel. They're both very fun.
Yeah.
I have no desire to do that every weekend.
Yeah.
I have no desire to hurt anyone or anything with it.
Yeah.
And I have no desire to buy one to even defend myself with that because I don't want it in my house.
Yeah.
And it's, I see the appeal of it as a hobby or something like that. There's no reason that you need to have like unlimited mags and all that stuff. Like,
So the other stat I don't have in front of me, but it said that of the mass shootings that have occurred, about 75% of them the guns have been purchased legally, and the other 25 were illegally acquired guns. So you look at places like there was just a shooting in Chicago, and people say, well, Chicago has tight gun laws. How do they get those guns? Illegally, legally, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They have the guns. They're gonna bring them into Chicago. Just don't give them the chance to get those guns. We don't need 100. We don't need 90 guns for every 100 people.
Yeah.
That means for the percentage of my household, there's a gun for us.
Yeah.
And that's not, like, my daughter doesn't need a gun unless you watch, This Is America.
Yeah, Who Is America?
Who Is America? So, personal opinion, the NRA sucks. The $60 million that the politicians are getting each year, it's disgusting that they think that any life that could have been saved if they didn't bring in that money is worth it. You're scum of the earth. Get out of my life.
Yeah.
Quit making decisions for me and my family. Because if your kid died because someone brought a gun to their school that could have been prevented, how are you going to feel then? Don't wait till it happens. Just put yourself in someone else's shoes when you make the dumb decisions you're making.
Yeah.
Please? Is that what I need to say? Has nobody said please yet?
I don't think anyone did yet. I think everyone was too aggressive.
All right. Well, send this to your congressman and...
Yeah. Pat an envelope on the back and we'll mail it to him.
Yeah. Should we take a break?
I want to talk about... Me?
What? No, you can't do that joke 2 weeks in a row.
Maybe we have new listeners.
Well, let's take a break. I need to cool down and then we'll talk about some of the controversies that the NRA has fallen into in the recent years.
Oh, they're controversial.
Yeah, they are controversial. Weird. Let's find out why right now. There's a place you can go to find us. It is
StrangerStillShow.com.
You can also find us at Facebook if you'd like to interact with us there.
And if you're a real dummy, you didn't realize you already found us and you're listening to this.
I will say that... first of all, we talked about at the beginning of the show, if you want to support us, we're on the Flying Machine Network.
Yep.
And you can support us best by going to patreon.com/flyingmachine and support us on there by kicking a few dollars our way. I just hosted a Patreon exclusive live streaming event where we gathered some hosts and patrons together and we played Quiplash, which is a very fun game. Had a lot of fun with it. And we're going to try to do those types of live streaming events each month. And all you have to do is give us $1 a month and you can be a part of those.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. $1.
$1.
That's $12 a year. You can't swing that. Come on. Please. Do I need to say please?
Has no one said
please
yet? Yeah. You might as well have dropped a dollar on the floor one time.
Yeah.
You've make amends for that.
Clean out your change drawer. You've got a dollar. You've got $12 in there.
Yeah.
Do you ever like clean out your change drawer and you're like, oh, this feels like $10, and you go to Walmart, you put it in the coin store, and it's like $50. You're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
I could buy a video game.
I've done that with cans too. I've just saved them and recycled them.
I used to have that luck, but I don't anymore. I'm like, oh, it's a dollar.
Yeah.
I do also want to say that this episode felt like an episode of Oops, I Talked Politics.
Right.
So
if you want to dive into Oops or
divisive issues. Oh, Potster. Is
that Potster the one you were saying? And we have two very poignant and progressive political shows. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to talk about, we talked a little bit about Trump, and they just watched the Dinesh D'Souza movie, mm-hmm. Death of a Nation.
Oh, no. No. I heard all about it.
Yeah. It's a train wreck. And you got to listen to that episode. If you like this episode, you're going to love Oops, I Talked Politics. And that's their most recent episode. So go listen to it. It's a great one. Well, it's not like the content they're covering isn't great, but their coverage of it is great.
There you go.
So, John, there's been a few controversies with the NRA. Like that one time, what's his face held his gun up and said, "You can pry my guns from my cold dead hands." That pissed a lot of people off. What was the one that just happened? You were telling me about on the way here. The lady got up on stage and
Dana Loesch.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember her?
Yeah.
So again, this is someone that is paid to have an opinion. I don't know if maybe they already had that opinion and it gets stronger when you add a little money into it.
Yeah.
But when they had the most recent shootings with where the kids starting to actually fight back and came. And then we had the conspiracy theories episode that we covered, mm-hmm. saying that they were crisis actors.
Yeah.
This is the woman that they sent on stage to fight children as to why guns are great.
Yeah. Good job. That's the right time to do that. Mm-hmm. So there was a little bit of controversy, I should say a lot of controversy, after Sandy Hook happened in 2012, mm-hmm. where they were silent for a really long time, continued endorsing buying rifles, and then in December they came out and said, well, the problem is we need armed security guards at these schools to prevent the school shooters from coming in. So let's put more guns in the schools. Doesn't that sound like a great idea?
I found a stat on that the other day that I want to pull up now.
Yeah. While you're looking that up, after the Vegas shooting in about a year ago, they were silent for 4 days after the shooting where 58 people died and 151 people were injured. And then they came out and said, no, further gun control laws would be awful and they won't stop any of these attacks from happening. They said, this is on Wikipedia, they started calling for a federal law allowing people to have a concealed carry permit in one state to carry concealed weapons into all other states. Because if you let that one good person with a gun bring their gun to another state, they'll stop that dude with an AR-15 gunning down 851 people. That's the dumbest argument I've ever heard. Have you ever heard of fight or flight?
Yes,
that's not how things work. Running through a scenario in your head, like, oh yeah, I'd shoot that guy down, but when you're there, maybe you won't.
And that
you can't rely on that.
That seems to be the common occurrence when you talk about school security guards and stuff, that they were on site, but they were waiting for the police to show up.
Yeah.
Right? Beyond that, I'm trying to find this that I actually did see the other day. There was something regarding, there's like a point in time where they started adding some sort of security to schools and police and things like that in certain areas. And they stopped zero gun deaths. And harassed like 20,000 specifically black men, I think it was. That's what I'm trying to find now.
Fantastic.
That's all right.
Well, I think that they just need to learn what empathy is.
It's too much money. That's not going to happen.
That's the most horrible thing, is that there's nothing that anyone can do about this because they have $360 million a year coming in, mm-hmm. that they can just spend on whatever the hell they want.
It's the same thing with war, the like 8 wars that we're in right now that we don't hear about, in Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen, Syria.
Yeah, proxy wars.
All of it. And it's just because of military contractors, and we're getting too much money. You can't do anything. And the only way that we can make the difference in stopping them from being funded is by voting for politicians that represent you and your voice.
But finding those people is like a needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just so frustrating. And God, I hope this never, like, my daughter never gets shot down.
Yeah, that's something you got
to
worry about.
How the, like, yeah, I shouldn't have to worry about that as a parent. Mm-hmm. Do I move to Japan where there's 0.0 homicides a year?
Yeah, that's probably a better idea.
Well, not per year, per 100,000 people. It's just, welcome to America. That's where we are. It's fun. I have my face in my hands, which is why I sound funny now.
If we want to get a little hopeful, right? We say we're progressives, which means you want progress.
Yeah.
You don't want stagnation.
Oh, you just reminded me of Dinesh D'Souza, so go on.
And I want progress. And
I got to take a caveat, because you guys got to go listen to Oops, because during this dude's mock documentary, it's not a mockumentary, it's a real documentary, but he sucks at making documentaries. He says that Nazis were progressive because they wanted to progress the human race. It's not what progressive are, you idiot. pack your bags and go home. No one wants to hear your garbage anymore.
He beat up his wife, too, I think.
I wouldn't be surprised. So, go on. What were you saying about Hope?
Yeah, anyway, about Hope. I don't know if he beat up his wife. He did illegal tax.
I don't care.
Stuff.
He's a horrible person. You say whatever you want about him.
So, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
We
get out and vote.
Need it.
Yeah. NRA spent the most they ever spent in the last election. They're probably going to spend more next election. Mm-hmm. So, be on the lookout for the NRA in your neighborhood.
And that's why, I mean, that's another reason we try to educate people as best we can and bring stats and stuff and make it fun.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good one to share, yep. Especially with your people that are on the fence or someone that's reachable. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Like, you say, like, show it to your dad who watches Fox News. My dad and my brother, who both carry firearms, agree with a lot of the counter-arguments. We're not trying to take guns away. We're just trying to make it so maniacs don't get them and kill a bunch of people.
Yeah.
That's all we want. Sorry. Sorry that we want to not kill people.
Yeah.
I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
This is strange still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.